Life Audio.
Today on Talk About That, John is self-conscious of his squeaky shoes and writes a song about dying frogs. Meanwhile, I audition for the celebrity judges on America's Got Talent and get nauseous at Dollywood. Plus, a conversation about our need for control and the importance of trusting God in uncertain times. Today's episode is not sponsored by squirrels. We're just rats with fluffy tails and better PR. But first, a word from our actual sponsors.
Hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together, we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com to join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Johnny Falls in the air. It's another episode of Talk About That.
It's crisp.
It's still hot.
Yeah.
Like, I sat outside for a minute, and I was like, wow, it's nice. There's a breeze. And also, though, like, you could still get a sunburn.
Yeah.
I mean, we could, in particular.
I risked it. I took a big risk this weekend.
What'd you do?
I went to Dollywood.
Did you wear sunscreen?
No.
Wow. You don't look any worse for the wear, or not any worse than usual.
I've got a bit of a bulbous nose, and I'm always worried about, because, you know, you don't want to be Rudolph action with the tip of your nose being burned.
I wonder if our
list... Why is the tip of your nose always getting burned? Like, it's only this much farther away from the rest of your face.
Yeah.
Is that not odd to anybody else?
It's like, wow.
Has anybody ever explained that in a video? Why do your cheeks and your nose get burned? And your
everything
forehead.
Else is fine.
You're like,
what is
this
that?
Is like
quarter inch?
Yeah, it'd be different if it's like, well, look, with a nose like that. No, it's it's not that much closer to the sun.
Right.
It's weird. I don't like it.
The nose is not that much closer to the sun.
Won't
boy.
That?
Come on now.
Won't that preach?
Yeah. So Dollywood, I wonder if our listeners who are not from the South.
No, Dollywood's very popular.
Do you think like that our Wisconsinite listeners.
100%.
Our Canadian listeners.
100%.
What about our European listeners?
No.
No. That's where they lose it.
They go to Euro Dolly.
Is there a Euro Dolly?
No.
Okay.
Maybe there will be now, though. I just planted the seeds
We're going to get our 10%.
Okay, so. If you don't know Dollywood, like when we used to go when we were kids, John, it was kind of like the, Dollywood again? Okay? Because it's like, we don't want to leave the state for our vacation.
Yeah.
So you get the, and they had a couple of, they had a log flume. They had Blazing Fury.
But we had those at home.
Right. So it's like, whatever. We have Blazing Fury at the house.
We grew up on a river.
Yeah.
Floating in logs.
So, but now, Dollywood, they've added so many coasters. They're one of the best coaster parks in the country.
That's a strong statement.
They have one of the fastest wooden roller coasters in the United States.
I like how the asterisk wooden.
These wooden coasters, I'm not kidding. I was pulling a G on this thing. So all that said, we go, oh, we're here. I had a show in East Tennessee.
Yeah.
So I took Curry with me. I was like, you know what, let's stay in a cabin and we'll do the whole thing. And my brother had got me like a gift card a couple of Christmases in a row for this cabin place.
Yeah.
And then they were going to expire. It's like so long. I don't ever get a chance to do anything like that. I was like, well, we're going to have to use these. They're going to expire. So I was like, we cashed them in.
Yeah.
And we go up. We get a cabin. And then the next day, I was like, what do you want to do? She goes, like, I don't know. And I go, what if Dollywood's open? She goes, huh. By the way.
Why wouldn't it be open?
Well, because it's people are back in school, so during the weekdays, sometimes these places only open on the weekends until it's cold weather.
Okay.
You know, because it's just not worth, because it's like a city. You have to have so many employees, and all of them are.
Yeah, but this is like a tourist capital of the South. Like,
I agree.
Lots of people come.
I was a fool to think they'd be closed, John. You're right. So they were open.
Appreciate that.
But I will say this. It was the perfect day to go. It was nice weather, and there were no waits on any of the rides. It was like 2-minute, 3-minute wait, you know, to get on these roller coasters. We took the first one. I was like, let's go get on this one first off. Uh-huh. And it was some crazy sling you around. I'm immediately nauseous.
Really?
I just realized, like, I'm an old person now.
No.
Like, in my mind, I'm like, let's ride everything. Awesome. And then you get on them, and you get off of it, and you're like, how many more of these do I have? I started thinking, how many more of these do I have?
Have to ride.
Well, how many do I have in me before I need to?
Before your wife stops respecting you.
But you spent like 80. Well, she was getting sick too. But you spent like $80 to get in the thing. Ooh, like,
you
got to
get your money's worth.
You got to now.
Even if you're throwing up.
So we did another one. And then there's one where it's like, we looked up at it. It was called like Eagles Fly or something. And I was like, okay. And it's one of those where your feet hang.
Uh-huh.
You're in the thing. And
just
feet,
like an eagle.
Just like an eagle.
Their feet hang.
And so my mighty talons extended down.
The dangling eagles.
So you could just see them going up the thing, and then it just drops off, and they're out of view. They're like, yeah, you hear a scream, the mighty, ah! And then they're out of view, and you're like, and Curry goes, do you want to do that? We'd ridden like three things, and we had to sit down. I go, let's sit down for a minute. And when we were sitting
there, bring Papaw a blanket.
It was. Yeah. It's like, can I get I need my electrolytes. So we're watching these people fall off the edge of a mountain from the Eagles coaster. And I'm like, well, we got to do it. So I rested. I kind of thought, well, I've got my bearings. We did that one. And it was actually okay. And then we go right next to that one was one of like, well, this one looks like it's just a little cart. It's like a thing. It's like a train, kind of a car thing on a rails. Regular coaster, but it was called like Fire Engine 9
or
something.
Yeah, it goes inside
like
the mountain thing.
And I was like, okay, whatever. And then I noticed at the end of the ride, people are coming in reverse, though. They're slowed down, but they're kind of like, it's backing up back to the... And I go, this is one of those ones where you do it, and then you do it all back in reverse.
Yeah.
So I go, let's try it. We're here. We go do it. And the first part, I'm like, whew, that was a lot. And then you stop. And then we realize we're getting ready to slingshot back.
Everything backwards.
And you can't see the curves coming.
Yeah.
And I got so disoriented, John. And I felt like, you know when you wake up, you get a little reflux, you feel the acid kind of pooling. It's like coming. You're like, something's coming. I felt my body changing. And Curry's got, she's green around the gills too. And we're both looking for a trash can. We are looking actively.
Come on, man.
We're not saying the words to each other like, I got to throw up in something. But we're like looking around like, okay, that was something. I wonder if there's a receptacle anywhere that I could empty the contents of my. So we hadn't eaten breakfast. This was like 10:30.
Well, that was the reason why.
No. Okay. It's why there was nothing to throw up.
Okay.
So I dry heaved over a trash can.
Oh, wow.
For 5 minutes while my wife watched in horror.
I just. Johnny.
And then I kind of, like, we're walking after the trash can, and I'm still, every few steps, like, and I couldn't do it.
Have we done $80? Yeah.
Nothing came out, but then we sat down for a few more minutes, and we were laughing about it. And I was just like, we're just old now. We're old people.
Man.
Our bodies aren't used to this. But, John, it was the reverse. You know what I'm saying? Like, I couldn't see what was coming, and that's what does, won't that?
Won't it, though.
Sometimes you got to live your life. You're not going to see what's coming.
No.
You need somebody that does know.
Sometimes you think that you saw what was coming.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you're just going backwards through the same stuff.
I saw what was coming up and it wasn't good from within. It let me know, John, that I had nothing inside.
Wow. Now that.
See,
sometimes.
Some of y'all are out here. You go through a trial, and then you just dry heave because
there was nothing inside
to
throw up.
There's nothing good. There's been no nourishment.
Oh, man.
But
that acts like if you had been nourished, that you would have been sicker.
But that's how baby birds feed each other. You know what I'm saying?
This is the full circle. Back to the dangling eagle.
Do you want to be able to feed other people?
Right.
You need to have nourishment in you so that when a circumstance comes up, you can vomit. into the mouth. There's a lot of vomit talk.
My wife, who listens, just gagged a little bit.
I apologize.
And I love it when she gags. She just sticks out her tongue a little bit.
It's a lot of body function talk for the first part of the show.
We don't normally. If you're new to the show.
Yeah. We're usually 60 to 70% vomit talk.
Right.
This is.
Right. We're over our 80% threshold right
talk
now.
Talk about vomit.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, but all that said, Dollywood was super fun and we had a great time. But I did not get sunburned, and I was very grateful. It was a perfect day. It was 80 degrees and, you know, sunny. But
good. Were the leaves changing at all yet?
No, and I was hoping they would, but, you know, it's like...
It's just hot.
It's just too much.
You know that I've heard that it's not really about the heat and the cold as much as it's about the light.
That makes the leaves...
Right, so now the days are getting shorter, so it gets less and less light. Okay. And I think it also has to do with the water intake.
Right.
So, but...
I don't know about...
There'd be no way
chlorophyll
to know.
And photosynthesis. Yeah. And
I've told that story before. My favorite things, we were at a family reunion one time, and one of our cousins, who was more on the holistic side, we'll call it that.
Hippy dippy.
And she had this water bottle that had green. This is like, I don't know, this is 15 years ago or whatever. And like, she was like, so I was like, what's in your bottle? Because back then people didn't do that, you know. She was like, oh, it's got chlorophyll. And this... Laura's cousin, who's a pharmacist, was like, hey, does that help with your photosynthesis? Like, it was so...
And then didn't you want to say, don't you mean borophyll?
I probably did say it.
We're here to learn, people.
And they all looked at me just like they did him in the class. Yeah.
Well, Curry went to Whole Foods the other day, so that was $300.
Yeah.
She came out with half a bag of stuff, and in it was...
They sell almonds, like, I think, individually.
Yeah, they do.
It's like $1.
She came out, and she had these little sodas, and it was like grape, you know... A hint of grape, whatever. Awful. But it said, she goes, this is probiotic. I go, oh, okay. So now we're putting probiotics in sodas. And, that's to me, probiotics, whatever, it feels like junk science to me anyway. But people are doing it. They drink the yogurts. And some people say, like, it doesn't matter. Probiotics only matter if they're, like, refrigerated and their actual cultures in a yogurt or something.
Yeah.
If it's just like, oh, it's a probiotic pill and it's been on a shelf, like, they do nothing for you. That's just the science is out on
what
that.
What about just biotics? We got pro and anti.
Well, so I look at the can closer. It was not probiotics. You know what it was? Prebiotics.
Oh, come on.
And I said, what is a prebiotic? So I looked it up, and it said, any carbohydrate that is... it gave this long definition of what a pre... I was like, so any carb is a prebiotic.
Come on.
I was like, how much was this? She goes, this is $5. For a can of soda.
Oh, my gosh.
I go, and of course, I tasted it. It's completely... undrinkable.
Well, it's not. What do
but
you?
But people
say?
Think like, oh, but this grape soda is doing good for me because it's a prebiotic.
It's imbibable.
It's unimbibable.
Unimbibable.
Yeah. I could not imbibe it. I refused to imbibe it. This grape soda will not stand. If I'd had that before riding that coaster,
oh my gosh,
it would have been a geyser of my own log flume. Of epic proportions.
Look, mommy, but, the purple guy.
But what's funny is on the way up, that's when the prebiotics take. That's when they take a hold of your system.
Right.
That's when they kick in.
Yeah.
You got to be.
That's.
I'm sorry. Oh my listeners, goodness. I apologize.
You know, maybe you're tired of the roller coaster that we've been talking about today. So maybe just take a break and hear a word from a few of our sponsors.
Okay.
Hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together, we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com to join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
I wonder about the balance of prebiotics, probiotics,
and an antibiotic.
Biotics.
Like, there was the thing that happened in the 90s where we started realizing these kids who, every tiny thing, a doctor's prescribing antibiotics and they're going on antibiotics, and then your body kind of builds up an immunity. Right. So that is a danger. And then you have doctors that just won't prescribe antibiotics ever because of that. So they fall on the crazy end of that spectrum. They're like, I'm afraid to get, you're like, I get one sinus infection a year.
Right.
I'm on the road. I have to sing tonight. Please just give me an antibiotic shot. And they won't do it. So you just got to start shopping around. Like, I'm trying to get opioids or something. You feel like a criminal.
Right.
But I get that. But it's like now, like you said, we have the antibiotic people, the probiotic people, and now prebiotic is thrown in the mix. I don't know what postbiotics. Yeah. Are we in a postbiotic apocalypse?
Oh, my gosh. I remember a postbiotic theology when it came about. I mean, it was changed everything. I did read an article that said that mass or widespread antibiotic immunity or resistance, it's not a matter of if, but when.
Okay.
So they are trying to stop it because...
Because then they call it super bugs. They're resistant to antibiotics.
They keep adapting.
Yeah.
And isn't that just like our lives?
Yeah.
Some of y'all need to keep adapting. What do you feel like when there's a metaphor and you take what could be a negative, make it a positive? Like I was thinking the other day, this is going to be embarrassing.
Okay.
You'll love it.
Yeah.
One of the first songs I wrote for the band was, because back then I'd write like off of our drummer, who's a youth pastor, his sermons and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had this thing about you put a frog
in
a kettle of boiling water, or you put in just a normal lukewarm kettle of water, it'll stay there. And if you turn the water up over time,
slowly, it'll stay there and boil.
Yeah, it won't pay attention to the changing temperature until it's too late and it'll die. So that was, I believe, preached as a negative.
Probably.
Like, hey, kids,
sin will
put
take
yourself
hold.
In a bad place. You don't notice that this is changing around you, it's who you hang out with or the environment you're in or a habit that you start this small. And then you look up and you're a dead frog. I mean, I think that was the gist of it.
You look up and you're dead. One day you're going to look up and you'll be dead.
You'll be dead. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then I wrote it like as a positive thing, like that I was in God's process.
Yeah.
And that he's
turning up the heat.
Is, you know,
he's refining you.
Right. And that, you know.
So you won't jump away.
I won't. That was the line. I will not jump away.
Throw me in the flames.
Yeah. Throw me in, which I look back. Yeah. I wrote extreme.
Yeah.
But that was an extreme time. Some might say extreme days were happening right then, which is another, by the way, I found a whole sleeve Toby Mac Extreme Days CDs.
The soundtrack, right?
Yeah, the soundtrack for the movie.
Yeah.
Because they're left over from our friends who were a part of the release of that.
Oh, right. So you got a bunch of
So Jeffrey had some, I think, and he used to have this office, and now they're still in here. Because
posters and T-shirts and those CDs.
I never go in that drawer.
We're living. Days. I don't think
he did that a lot.
I don't think that's how it goes at all, but it's close.
Yeah.
Coming at you like a whirlwind. Toby Mac, man, he's still out there. You know what's funny? I did a show with him. I did a festival called Life Fest in Wisconsin. I'm up there. It's 2015. I took Curry with me because he was there, Family Force 5. And Toby Mac's still cranking out. Like, he was the headliner of the festival. We go to the show, and they're, like, putting live tweets on the thing. He comes out. He's wearing, like, the hat and the thing. And he's got his own clothing line now, basically. The bright red Adidas shoes. I'm like, this guy, he's so cool, you know. And then somehow the guy who's running I'm going to put your live tweets on the big screen.
Yeah.
Somebody let one through, and it was basically like, I can't believe this guy's 50.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, first of all, it's interesting that he would let that through, because it's like he's trying to dress like a little kid basically still and like pull it off.
Well,
second of
short,
all,
isn't he?
He is, but it's not just that. It's like he's dressing younger than he is.
Sure.
And this kind of exposes that. I thought it was kind of refreshing. I was like, well, he's cool with it. But I think it was literally his birthday that day.
Wow.
And then somebody found that out and knew that and tweeted about it. But secondly, I was just like, this guy, he looks so good. And now, I mean, that was 8 years ago. He's almost 60.
Jeez.
And he's touring. He's running around, jumping around, living in extreme days.
Days. What are we doing? You can't even ride a roller coaster anymore.
We're aging. I'll give you that.
See, I'm fine on roller coasters.
When I wear red Adidas, I don't think it works.
No.
I wear very conservative footwear.
I don't.
Don't you feel weird when you buy shit? You're like, these shoes have too much purple in them for me. Like, you start making decisions of like, I'm just going to go with these.
I just go to my wife like, hey.
Are these going to get me lamped down?
Right. I'm sure the rules have changed yet again since last week. So can you please
tell
me?
And you're counting on her to know the rules.
Well, she does.
Okay.
I don't know how. I always ask her, like, how do you know? Are you just, like, reading a blog every night? Like,
yeah.
But there is a set of...
Does she come through every now and then and be like, nope, these are out, and then just throw them away? Pull shoes from underneath your bed and throw them in the trash?
I think that would probably step upon her sense of hypocrisy.
Okay.
Because
she holds on. She's a hoarder.
I'm not sure a pair of shoes has ever been thrown away from her closet.
Oh, okay. Sure, yeah.
Honey, I'm sorry. to say this.
She does give away clothes, though, because she gave some clothes to Curry before.
She does give away clothes. I'm just teasing. Shoes, I'm not sure.
Yeah. Shoes are... Man, women in shoes. Women be shopping. No, I'm sorry. That's not... We're not going there.
We didn't say that, guys. I'm just like, hey.
Yeah.
Like, I have these white shoes now.
Sure.
She's like, you have to stop wearing those shoes with those jeans or whatever. Like, you need shoes for, like, Sunday morning.
Uh-huh.
That you can wear, like, your button-up... Like, I have those short-sleeve button-up shirts, or you have... Like, you just need some shoes that look like that they came from this century.
Oh.
Something like that. I was like, oh. I mean, I'm still a child of the 90s, you know. So, I have these white shoes, and they look fine.
You wore some white shoes when we did our photo shoot the other day for the... And I thought, those are cool.
Yeah, I like them, but they squeak.
Oh, right.
Like, they're so squeaky.
Like a dog toy? Or just like...
Yes, it sounds like... Quick, quick, quick. Like, I'm just walking around...
It's a lot.
And I can't sneak up on anybody anymore, which my highest marks were in stealth.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So, we know.
It's one of those... I wonder if you researched if somebody's shoes ever gave them away as they were trying to commit a crime.
Yeah. Maybe. That's why I never believed the whole, like, myth about how, like, there's killer clowns in the woods. I was like, there's no way. You know what I'm saying?
But yeah, because they have...
If there's a clown in the woods...
Yeah.
You're going to see him way before... You're going to hear him clip-clopping and...
Right. He's going to have a little...
Yeah, he's going to be like, hey... Speak into my lapel, smell my flower, and then he seltzers you or whatever. You knew that wasn't real. I apologize if there's any people who've been
there. Was a whole thing. There were clowns in the woods in Mount Juliet.
Really?
Yeah, that was like a thing a few years ago.
But was it real?
Yes.
What were they doing?
No one knows.
Smoking weed. They're not.
It's probably
they're
some
not
kids
hurting
who,
people.
Who, I don't know.
What were you doing in the woods, John?
It sounds like something
you
I would have
like
done.
You seem like you know about it.
I mean, it happened was over when off
you were,
of...
Was this when you were in school? Was this when you were like of age to do such a thing?
No, this was a few years ago here in our town.
Okay.
Johnny, this is our town.
I noticed that the dates of these stories lined up with dates that you were out of town. What do you want to talk about today on the...
Your Honor, I'd like to move to Exhibit A.
Yeah.
And that is John's travel schedule. I'm not out of town that much. Not like you. This guy is about to be gone.
A lot. Can I say this? I'm in Defiance, Ohio this Saturday, because this episode airs today.
Sounds like such a nice town.
It is, and there's still a few tickets available, and I'd love to sell it out, just for my pride and ego. So, Ohio people, Northern Ohio people, come see me. Defiance, Ohio.
But what if they defy you?
I don't want to be defied. I want to be obliged.
That's right, man. It's the sister city. Obliged.
Obliged, Ohio. Anyway, please come. It's Saturday the 16th. And then I'm in Scottsville, Kentucky on the 17th. That's a free show, Scottsville.
Oh.
It's at some park. So it's going to be one of these things where a church hosts me and they're like, we'll do a big outdoor event. And it'll either be like so amazing or it'll be like, man, this was hard. Because outdoor comedy can be hard. I'm really excited to do it. And I'm excited the church would host me. But outdoor events sometimes can be challenging. This, they said it's like a little amphitheater area. So I'm hoping it's going to be like a hillside with people kind of in a bowl and they're kind of, all their attention is focused on me, as I prefer.
Right. Like a bowl with you as the center.
In the center of the bowl. Like a scoop of chocolate chip ice cream.
Ugh.
I don't know. It'll be fine. So I did, speaking of podcasts though, I did Tim Hall. I wasn't speaking of podcasts. We're doing a podcast, but I wasn't speaking about podcasts.
That's a perfect segue.
I did Tim Hawkins podcast last week.
Yeah, I heard.
And it released already.
Oh, wow.
Have you heard? Listened to it?
I have not. I didn't know it released.
I didn't know it was going to happen until like a few minutes before. But he goes, is it okay if I ask you about AGT? And I go, I guess. I said, I've not talked about it on my own podcast.
Yeah.
And then he proceeded to ask me to share my experience about America's Got Talent audition. And I did. So we broke the story of my AGT audition on a rival podcast. And I want to just apologize to you.
Yeah, we had this whole thing.
We weren't going to talk about it until because I wanted to make sure that I was out of the woods of.
Are you allowed to talk about it?
I think because they didn't. What happened? Okay, here's what I'll tell. I won't tell the whole story, but we producer asked me to come on AGT. They flew me out. John went with me.
Yeah, we talked about this a couple months ago.
We talked about it, but we didn't reveal what it was.
We flew to Pasadena together,
but it was for me to audition in front of the celebrity judges on AGT. So we did it, and it went super great. It couldn't have gone better. I got a standing ovation. And then you wait to see if they're going to air you. Because once they have all the people that get like really good response from the crowd and the judges, and I got four yeses, all of that, those people go into a pile. And then they cast the show from those yeses.
Right.
So you're not guaranteed to be on the show just because you had a good set.
And Johnny did have a good set.
So it was just this big waiting game for like 3 months of not talking about it. And now the shows have all aired. And I did not, I was told by the producer like a few weeks ago that I was not going to air. That they really loved me, but it just wasn't the right fit.
Yeah, I'm really sorry.
And so it was a bummer, but whatever. And at least we didn't, I didn't bomb or whatever. So, but anyway, I haven't really talked about it. I was waiting to make sure it was okay. And now I think it's okay. So, but I talked about it on another podcast instead of ours.
Well, at least you picked one that was smaller than ours.
Yeah. I wanted to kind of just, yeah.
Yeah.
I figured Tim needed the help.
Yeah. Tim.
That guy.
Yeah. If he keeps trying.
I just want him to go full time this year. I've told him this is the year, buddy.
Could you imagine?
Yeah.
So did you stay with him?
I stayed at his house. It's a lovely palatial Hawkins Manor in the Johnny W. suite.
Oh, you have your own suite.
I do.
Is it the same house?
No.
Okay, because the last one I remember, what we loaded in, that would have been 2000, like, I don't know, 13, 14.
When were you?
I was on tour with y'all because I was writing the book.
Okay. Yeah.
Listeners, you may not know, I was the collaborator.
We talked about you. We talked about you on Tim Hawkins.
Did you really?
Yeah. He mentioned you because he said, what's your podcast? I told him he was trying to give me a chance to kind of hype my own stuff. And I said, talk about that. And he was like, with John Driver, who ghost wrote Diary of a Jackwagon.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he loves you.
I love him, too.
It was good hanging out with him and catching up. Tim has been a dear friend and mentor to me. And he helped me get started. Basically, him and his brother are the reason that I went full-time as soon as I did. I was only 4 years in when I went full-time comedy in 2012. And it was because of the huge like crowds they were putting me in front of. And it was leading to other bookings. And so I left my job here at the church and kind of just jumped and hoped the net would be there. And so now this is my 11th year full-time.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So 15 total.
15 total. So, yeah. And a lot of it is because of, like, people took a chance on me early on. Because being 4 years into comedy is like, you're still a baby. You're still finding your way. And Tim really had a lot of trust in what I was doing. And we just hit it off on the road. We both did music in our show. And so that was a big cool. But anyway, it was fun being with him and hanging out. But I didn't mean to break the story of the AGT thing to not even our audience, John, and I feel like that was something that I should have conferred with you on.
I feel like there's been a great gulf between us.
Yes. Now you know.
A chasm.
Why?
If you will. No, I mean, I didn't know. I mean, it's fine. Maybe that story there will send listeners to come hear it here, Johnny.
Maybe. Know? I gave kind of the Cliff's Notes version to our listeners because I kind of told the longer version of like meeting Terry Crews and.
Yeah.
I was like, when I met Terry Crews backstage and we did our little interview, I was like, this is going to be on TV. Uh-huh. It's like you have those kind of moments where you're like, this was too funny and charming.
Yeah.
This is going to be on TV. So that's why it was such a surprise when they didn't air it. I was like, well, I mean, whatever. Who knows why they make those decisions, though? You know, they're choosing like.
Right. How many comedians already have from the other cities that you're not seeing?
Yeah. And like, okay, we need this. We got one guy because there's another comedian that talked about church a little bit. And I was like, I have a church background. Yeah. My comedy wasn't about church, but I have a church background. So I thought, maybe they thought, well, we've already checked the box of a church guy.
Right.
And so then you're kind of.
Which Simon seemed to love that.
He did.
About you.
I don't know. Who knows?
I mean, guys, I can say this because I was there.
Okay.
It was an interesting, because my perspective is probably different even than yours.
Yeah.
More accurate, some might say. But, I mean, it was an interesting 3 days.
Yeah.
You know? And it was cold.
It was cold.
It was cold outside and inside. They keep Johnny in a studio.
Yeah, in that green room, the area constructed this pipe and drape area of the warehouse that they film in. And they keep it 60 degrees.
Yeah.
Because they want you to stay alert.
Because they're shooting the whole time.
They're shooting around you. Yeah. And so they don't want you in the background of somebody else's interview dozing off.
Which is what I was doing.
So you're just shivering.
They'd make me. They were like, hey, can you sit over here?
Yeah.
You know, I was like, no. Yeah. No, I did it. But because I didn't want to embarrass Johnny.
I will say this, like talking about my experience, I am wary of them thinking like, if I say anything like, well, they keep it cold. I don't want anybody to think like,
because
if they asked me to ever do it again, I would do it again.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it, and they were really cool people to me, and they were really upfront with me. Hey, we can't promise you this is what it is. Lawyers pull you aside. Even when you got four yeses, when I got four yeses, they're like, this is what to expect. Doesn't mean what, you know, this is great news. And also, boom, they hand you you're going to get a big document to sign, and it's going to have all the waivers and all the NDAs and all that, you know, and they didn't say like, you know, you're going to be a, they didn't say any of that.
No.
You're going to be a star now. Like, so I knew going in, this is out of my control. That's part of what bugged me about it.
Yeah.
Is like,
it was stressful.
I had such control over my career.
Yeah.
For this 15 years. And then you kind of go, here's all my jokes. Go get them approved. And then like, I hope Howie Mandel doesn't give me a thumbs down in front of millions of people.
Yep.
And then when it went well, I was like, I think we're okay here. This could be something.
It went well enough that they shot a post with you.
They shot a little post.
Because we went outside.
Yeah, and they shot a thing where we kind of made a inside joke based on something in my interview.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, they're shooting B-roll with me after the fact. Yeah. So this is a good sign. And it just, that's just reality TV. They shoot a bunch of footage that they don't use. They shoot a bunch of footage and then they have to choose between these. There was 200 contestants for that season. And they can only air probably 40 of those possibly. I mean, maybe even less than that.
And what's crazy is the number that they start with. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
It's 70,000.
Oh, 70,000.
People.
So 70,000 to 200.
Show. Yeah.
And then, and I was a last minute addition. Through like a producer that goes and finds you online.
And I think above all, that probably was the biggest thing. I think some things were in motion.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not just saying this because you're my best friend and I was there. I'm like, you really did do amazingly well.
Yeah. Who knows? Well, I mean, I said, there was things, they go, would you do anything different? I go, well, I held back on a lot of my story because I didn't want to get pissed. I've watched the show enough to know like, hey, I could go on here and be the weight loss guy.
Yeah.
If I tell them that in my story, they're going to be like, how did you, you know, they're going to be the whole weight loss guy. I didn't want that. I wanted my jokes to kind of stay on their own. I didn't want to be the dead parents guy, you know.
Yeah.
So your parents are dead, you know, talk about, you know.
Right.
So I shared a little bit about my mom and her ministry and that, you know, she never got to see me do stand up and I hope she's proud of me and all that stuff. But that was the most like heartfelt stuff I got into. Most of it, I kept it pretty light. And then I was like, let's see. Because I had heard a rumor that, like, Simon was over all the, you know, sob stories. And he wanted, like, an upbeat season.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, I'm not going to go on and
you
be
gave
like,
it upbeat for sure in the interview.
Yeah.
But he loved calling you, I thought it was funny, he loved calling you a preacher.
Yeah.
He knows that, not a pastor. He called you a preacher.
Yeah. And then he had questions about it. And Howie was super cool to me. And, like, he gushed, but he really did, like, for 5 minutes of the critique, it was Howie talking about, like, it's clear you've been doing this 15 years, you know. It's great to have a professional on the show. And so I thought, well, he's saying on the show, this is great.
Dude, I mean, you got the kudos from one of the top comedians in the world.
Yeah, I mean, he's a 40-year veteran of stand-up. Howie did stadiums. You know, Howie's done, you know, big arenas. So all that said, it was a cool experience, and I'm glad we did it. But it was just that thing of, like, you don't have control over it, and you have to just give up that control and just go, well... So I just have to trust that I wasn't supposed to do it. I wasn't supposed to get it. Yeah. I was supposed to do it. I'm happy that we did it because it was cool affirmation that like, all right, well, you're kind of on the right track. You know, you made Sophie Vergara laugh. You made Heidi Klum laugh. That's pretty cool. Yeah. Simon Cowell said nice things about my stand up. That's good stuff. But just the idea of like, all right, well, maybe I'm not supposed to be on this show yet. You know?
Well, and it sucks that everyone has to take our word for it.
Yeah, because you don't even get your footage. Like, it's not like they go, and here's your footage to have. Yeah. You can show the clip. Like, those clips go into the trash can.
Like, I tell a lot of untruths on the show.
Yes.
But I wouldn't lie about this.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I appreciate that, John.
No, you did really well. And it was a fun experience.
We got to hang out in L.A. and...
I mean, I felt bad for how stressful it was for you at times. But
it was a lot. And I did not know that we were going to be in that room all those hours.
Yeah.
We know when you call.
I started sneaking out after a while.
You did.
I'd be like,
you went and found coffee and lunch, and and I was like, all right,
civility.
I'll just stay here.
Yeah. Why? Well, you had no choice.
It's fine though.
No, you did good, man. It was good.
Well, these are things, you know. You just do. You just put yourself out there, and you just all those things you hope. You know, those are the things, little stepstones in your career that make a. You know, but I'm glad we did it.
I think being okay with and that's I shared a few episodes back, but. Like, really not feeling the need to control your life. Mm-hmm. And it's not just a career thing. Like, the giving up of daily control is such a... I think it's one of those human things you're never going to do. It's why there's a daily bread and a daily walk, certainly in a spiritual sense. Because I find myself, even this morning, just normal things in life as a dad or what's going on in my kid's life or my family life. It is really hard for me to say once again to God, like, hey... and one of the things our friend John Elmore, who was here speaking this last week, one of the things I heard him say in Dallas was like, you know, I he says, I tell the Lord, Tom, I make a terrible Lord of my own life.
Right.
And now that's a really good confession for me. Like, I make the plans I will lay out.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes, look, sometimes people are just not funny if they go on the show or whatever. I think we want to make something significant or meaningful out of everything. And there are times I think it all is meaningful, even if, like, there are things I didn't get in life because I wasn't ready. In your case, you were obviously ready, did great. That's why it's so surprising. But there are things I've tried out for as a writer that, like, it just wasn't – I wasn't the best fit, or it wasn't the right time, or I wasn't ready to do it.
Yeah, or like sometimes, like you said, being a terrible Lord of your life, because sometimes the plans we make, like you go, if I could just have this, this, and this. But if you get all that, it would either be terrible for you and or it wouldn't really make you happy anyway.
Right.
You know, so I'm cool with like the idea of giving control up. I think I've just done this long enough that I go like, well, I'm busy. I'm really happy with the choices I've made in my career. I've been very blessed, very lucky in spots. People should be really averse to saying the word lucky, but I've been put in some positions where you just go, man, this was like, it could have gone either way. And I just trust that like, this was the right thing. And I've been very blessed compared to some other people that I know of. And so it's like, okay, I can't complain. And so, yeah, but the idea of giving control up to God is one thing. But the idea of giving control to some editor or Simon Cowell or whatever, like that's a weird one. Like somebody that's making a decision of whether you're TV worthy and you don't even know like what their rubric is. What's their metric that they're using? So you didn't even know the rules when you went into it. You're just like, well, he might be looking for some thing that I don't have, but I can make these 1,000 people laugh and I can make these judges stand up. But it still may not be enough, and that's tough.
But there may have been, there may have been some like no thing that that the editor always hears. No, when they say this, I never put him through, and you don't know what that is,
right?
And you could have said it.
Or
times.
I brought you with me. What if that was it?
What if it was?
They're like that friend. If he's going to be a part of this journey, we can't.
We see a problem there.
Yes.
See, I always then go, "Does God?" Do you want to get deep into theology on this?
Like,
okay. Does God though? How does God influence Simon Cowell to influence my career?
Okay.
Like, where then is the line between him allowing Simon Cowell to
like
have,
using King Nebuchadnezzar to blah, 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 even though he was a wicked,
But he also, I believe...
Was God King Nebuchadnezzar wicked? Yes,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. God, so he used the wicked king to still accomplish
his... We're not saying Simon
Cowell's
wicked, by the way. So,
God, no, I'm not meaning that. My Lord, we're never... That's not what I mean. I'm just saying, like, you can use secular things.
Yeah, you can use anything. Yeah. So, but where does he give him his choice?
Yes.
And where does he intervene? Like, it's the same thing if I pray for my kid.
You think his heart was hardened towards me. Is that what you're saying?
I think that, like,
is he Pharaoh?
Like Pharaoh, it was. And this was the first plague, you know, coldness. And now there's 9 more to come.
So, you're saying if they don't somehow reverse this and put me on the show, there's going to be frogs, locusts?
Yeah.
Man, it's going to.
Hey, AGT, let my Johnny go.
They let me go. They let me go back home and
They let me go. Yeah. Man, that was a good memory, Johnny.
It was cool. And you know what's funny too, talk about control, like the illusion of control. I think a lot of us realized for the first time, or at least we came to grips with it in a real way during the pandemic, of like this idea that like we have control.
Yeah.
Over our finances and our health and you just realize like, man, that's why it was so hard for people who are like, I'm a freedom loving whatever. Especially those people were really like, okay, you mean to tell me like just on a whim of whatever or a government or something that's airborne in the air, it could just take my health or it could take my freedom. And for some people, like I got to now like quarantine, I've got to isolate. It's hard. So yeah, I think that idea that, well, I'll just go here and I'll do these things. Like when the pandemic started, when the first like, you know, titters of it where you're like, oh, is this a thing? Is it real? Is it just in China? I remember thinking like, well, April's good. March is I have no bookings, but April's good. So we'll be fine. And then you don't realize like all those shows are going to go away and be canceled. So like that moment was such a freaky thing. And I don't think I've ever really fully emotionally... It changed me. It changed my wiring of how I look at my calendar. Like right now is a good month for me as far as like I'm very busy, but I'm still living in that like until all those shows happen, I'm not
Right.
I'm not counting those chickens before they hatch at all. And I might have before.
Yeah, I prayed that this morning because it's become, maybe just an age thing. I think pandemic's a big deal. I talk about it all the time, volleyball or whatever. But I told the Lord this morning, because it's good for me to confess, like, you alone make me dwell in safety today.
Yeah.
Like, there's not going to be another thing. And I'll tell Sadie that about relationships at school, or, you know, like, even my relationships. I have deep relationships. Like, there is not a person, even in my marriage, which my marriage is such a haven for me from the
There
Lord.
Should only be two people in your marriage, just for the
There's two people
for the
in my
record.
Marriage. It's me and
There's
Lord.
Not even a person in my marriage that could.
But I'm saying, like, I can't ask
eight,
her.
Of the eight people I'm married to currently, there's not even one of those huge group.
Right, it's a big, yeah, it takes a village. But it's a, to come to that place of there's no security.
Yeah.
And it's hard to say. It's hard to say because everyone, if you're listening, it's like, where's the comfort in that? To go, oh, by the way, everything in your life that you hold dear, it's all, you know, fading.
Well, that's kind of like isn't that what Ecclesiastes is, really?
Right.
Like, it's this thing of like, hey, if everything's a season, and like, even if you're joyful now, mourning is around the corner.
Yeah.
Everyone experiences mourning.
It's coming in whatever stage you're in, and it's like you can't stop. We used to call it no arrivals. Like, you can't stop and be like, cool, finally my career is okay.
Yeah.
You know, like, when you do that, there's negative sides of that, and it might not be true.
Right.
Some people then are not worried, and things do work out okay. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I want to be one of those people. I just don't want to worry and have things work out okay all the time.
I think things are working out okay.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. Things are pretty good.
It's a grand scheme.
Well, it was fun to look back, John.
It was, wasn't it, though?
Those experiences and being in L.A. with you. And, you know, look, things don't always turn out exactly how you thought. But, hey, you know what? We're in a good spot. And I'll see you in Defiance, Ohio, friends and followers. But it is fun to look back in the past. Sometimes we look at This Week in History, John. It's a segment we like to call Talk About Then. What happened? You have one job, John.
They didn't hear that. I pushed the button and the show intro started in our ears.
That
right
was
there.
Weird. Okay. John, let me see what else I got here. Oh, Willie Nelson, this day, 1980. Do you know what happened at the White House with Willie Nelson? He smoked pot at the White House.
Oh, really?
Do you know this story?
With Reagan?
No, not with the president. U.S. President Jimmy Carter, a fan of Willie Nelson, invited the country singer to perform on the South Lawn of the White House. Rosalind Carter even joined, or is it Rosalind? Rosalind. Rosalind Carter joined Nelson for a duet singing Up Against the Wall, Redneck Mother. That's a song? That's a Willie Nelson song?
That's an unfortunate title.
Up Against the Wall, Redneck Mother. Anyway. Am I being punked here? Is that a real? Okay. Later that night, it sounds like a made-up Willie Nelson song.
It does.
He wrote Up Against the Wall, Redneck Mother, and you're like, this can't be. Okay, but he did. Later that night, Nelson went on the roof at the White House where he lit up a, quote, big fat Austin torpedo, which then in parentheses says marijuana cigarette. And he smoked it with Carter's son. So the
Come on.
The president's son was like, I'll smoke with you. President Carter claimed to not have known of Nelson's after-hours activities.
Well, how convenient.
That President Carter will never amount to anything. Oh, wait. He's gone on to become like such a interesting like elder statesman of the country and very well-respected and all the work he's done for the poor. Okay. Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? September 13th, 1969. The Mystery Machine gets rolling with the TV series Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Premieres. Were you a big Scooby-Doo kid?
I was. Were you?
Loved it. My favorite were the celebrity, when they would animate celebrity guests like the Harlem Globetrotters and Don Knotts would come on and Phyllis Diller. And those were so fun. Like, I wish more cartoons would do that now. Like, having celebrity guests that you animate and have them come in and do their voices. What a fun.
Yeah.
We need more
the
of that.
The Simpsons has done that.
That's true.
Yeah.
They need more of that. Do you remember who was the voice of Shaggy? Do you remember?
I don't.
Casey Kasem.
Okay, what?
You didn't know Casey Kasem was the voice of Shaggy?
No.
Schoolboy buddy, old pal.
No.
Yeah.
I did not. You just, my whole.
I sure
whole,
could go for some pizza right now.
My entire universe.
Didn't it?
Well, it didn't take much, apparently.
Casey's top 40. He was also. Yeah.
But he doesn't sound like that at all when he was doing.
He was also, I think he was Robin on the Batman cartoons. I think he was also Robin.
So he did cartoon voiceovers.
He did a lot of cartoon voiceovers. Casey Kasem. Michelangelo's David he began work, 1501. Italian Renaissance artist Michelangelo began work on his marble sculpture of David. And he completed it in 1504, 3 years it took.
Whew.
So one of the most well-known sculptures. What's funny about this is in the post, there literally is a warning graphic photo. You have to click to view the photo.
Wow.
Because I've seen now that like some school field trips, they'll be like, trigger warning, because it's a naked.
Right.
It's like, it's art though. What do you feel about that? Like, if would you be okay with Sadie? Like, would you have a thing of like, now Sadie, you're going to see a sculpture and there's going to be a naked man.
Yeah, I think that
it's different, right?
It is what we do in society with that. I mean, again, we've always tried to be like, hey, the human body is not something to be.
It's weird because like it's the pornification of America and in our culture.
By not letting them see it, you actually over sexualizing culture
in
some ways. But there is a level and a limit. I get it. I'm not against parents who wouldn't.
Yeah,
like, I understand that.
It's just strange that now it's crossed over, and now I had to click to see the. It's like, but, I think this is my.
But for someone not to see one of the most famous sculptures in the world because I feel like that it's not pure enough. I think that's I don't know. I struggle.
It's odd. 1788, John, September 13th. This city was established as the capital of the U.S. by Congress. Do you know what that city
1788?
Was?
1788.
1788.
That's going to be Philadelphia.
It's not.
Okay, that's going to hold on. Hold on. New York.
New York City.
Yeah.
I had no idea it was ever the U.S. Capitol.
Yeah.
Did you know?
I did.
I always thought it was Philadelphia, and then it went to Washington, D.C.
You've watched Hamilton. You should know that.
I guess they're rapping so fast, John. I can't keep up. Finally, John, he was born 1813, died 1864. His death of great significance because John Sedgwick, American general, he was killed in the Civil War at the Battle of Spotsylvania, which sounds like a made up. It sounds as made up as the Willie Nelson song.
Yeah.
I'm from Spotsylvania. It sounds like a vampire dog cartoon. He's from Spotsylvania. But he was killed in the Civil War Battle of Spotsylvania, John Sedgwick. And the reason he is in this list is because his last words were, "They couldn't hit an elephant at this distance."
Oh, no. Gosh.
Just as he was shot by a Confederate sharpshooter.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
You know, in the book I might be writing is still up in the air.
Is the name of the book still up in the air? Is it about the Battle of Spotsylvania?
I couldn't believe it that you named it. But they're at a battle. It's in Kentucky.
Uh-huh.
It's a really, really foggy morning. And
this sounds like a Willie Nelson song already.
It does, doesn't it? And the Confederate general, and there was like a Union major, because they're surveying to get ready for the battle, and they can't see each other. And they each think that the other one's on their side.
And
this is a true story. And they ride up, and they're sitting so close that like their knees are touching next to each other because they can hear each other.
Yeah.
And they're like saying, "Well, we need to make sure that you know we don't enter." And whatever they're saying makes sense to both of them.
Yeah, okay.
Because it's almost like make sure to keep our guys from this and that because it makes sense. And then one of the guys who's the son of someone I'm studying in Nashville Civil War history, and this guy, the Confederate, is a Nashville guy too. That the aide rides up like, "That's the Union," and like they open fire, and the Union general and the aide both die in that battle.
Because they're 2 inches from each other.
They're literally just out in the field with the enemy, and they didn't know it.
Some of y'all are out here.
Right now in the field.
You're shoulder to shoulder with the enemy, and you don't even know.
Come on.
He would kill you. And if you don't, I don't know.
If you don't kill him?
Right.
How do you feel about, I know we had to go, but how do you feel about, I do hear people all the time, like, there's this, like, you know what? There's almost like a cursing of the devil, like a cussing of the devil. Like, you know what? I would kick the devil's A right now. I get it.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's one of those, but I don't know. I don't know if we have a ancient scriptural hermeneutic for that.
For like fighting. Well, we fight principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. So we do battle.
Right.
Right.
Huh. I think Paul said maybe once, like, he just said, "The Lord rebuke you," when the angel, I think he was quoting maybe Michael fighting Lucifer. I got deep in there for a minute. But the sense of, there's a lot of preaching in our world today.
That's like there's points being scored against the devil.
You got to take that devil today and you got to put him in a stranglehold. You know, like it's a real, and I'm like, that there's what's weird is normally I'm not that guy.
Well, and like, and how you put the devil in a stranglehold, you do the right thing, right? You flee. You're supposed to flee. It's a lot of times you're supposed to run from things. You know, it's supposed to always like, there's a time to stand and fight. There's a time to flee.
Yeah.
But now we have this, like, if you have a warrior culture and all you ever promote is like, I'm going to go fight.
But I believe in fighting. I believe the armor of God's
evidence. I've seen you fight, John, and I don't think you do.
John, if you think that you could beat the devil, John, you can't beat, yeah.
Before we go, John, I just want to say that I was in Branson, Missouri this weekend with my friend Ted Cunningham. Mm-hmm. He is a marriage speaker.
Yeah.
And he has written a book that I wanted to talk about. It's a marriage book called Greater Joy Together. I know we promote your books a lot, but wow. I told him that I would talk about this book because it's great. It's a 52-week marriage devotional.
Nice.
And so it's super cool and readable. And he's very funny. Like, Ted's amazing. And I just wanted to promote this book because it's like the first week of Amazon sales. It's a big deal, as you know,
yeah.
to get
oh, yeah.
the big first week up. So go buy this book.
Please.
Ted's great. And he didn't pay me to say this because I asked him. He wouldn't.
You should tell him the title in case you're just listening.
Greater Joy Together with TWO.
Yeah.
Greater Joy Together, a 52-week marriage devotional.
By Ted Cunningham.
Ted Cunningham. So look up Ted Cunningham on Amazon. And he's great. Pastors of church in Branson. They had me at their event this past weekend. Gosh, they're such great people. They did a 70s. It was a 70s night theme.
Ooh.
Everybody dressed in these like loud flower power dresses and polyester skirts and stuff. And then they did like, so there's such an entertainment culture in Branson, John. They did like skits and stuff of like Johnny Carson. A guy came out in a Johnny Carson wig and a thing and did like a monologue.
Wow.
And then Steve Martin came out and it was the same guy. It was a costume change.
Wow.
He's Steve Martin now and did Steve Martin's, hey, I'm a wild and crazy guy. They did a Kel Burnett sketch.
Wow.
It was amazing. I was like, this is hard to follow.
Yeah.
It was really cool. But so they did like 70s television as a part of their comedy night. So it's a great idea for churches to do, man.
Yeah.
I love coming to do couples events and date night events at churches, by the way. So if you're interested in something like that, just go to my website. Send me an invite. I love doing them.
Yeah, johnnyw.com.
Don't try to show me up by doing funnier things before I come out.
Yeah, he hates
that. Ted, why would you do that?
He'll talk about it like he likes it, and then later on he just,
I know.
But he cusses it like the devil.
I do. Sorry. I put Ted Cunningham in a headlock. But then I bought his book, so we're even.
Yeah.
Everything's square.
That's good.
Okay.
That's good. You should also check out our website of our podcast.
Talkaboutthatpodcast.com. Over 782 archived episodes. Is that not?
I think it's like 776.
Yes.
But who's counting, really?
Check it out and follow along. And
you can also watch us there.
Watch us there, yeah. And you can click a link there to support the show if you'd like to. Get ad-free content that way.
Getting some new... Hey, we got a couple new... Patrons.
Oh, that's nice. Patrons. We don't know what we're talking about.
Patrons, hey, thank you so much for supporting the show. It means a lot to us. Yeah,
it does mean a lot. And we usually send free gifts to our patrons. We'll be doing that.
Yeah.
Those will be on gingerly on their
gingerly.
Way.
Gingerly, yeah.
But yeah, do that. And also, go to johndriver.com or amazon.com. Just search John Driver's name. Mm. JohnnyW.com is where you find me, JohnnyW.com. New tour dates going up every week. I just added another cruise for January. I'm doing a cruise with Zach Williams.
Wow.
The CCM artist and country artist. And we're going to be sailing the seas with Zach.
Come on.
So come hang out.
We need to talk about that cruise.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. At this point, I think it would be like a... It's like a...
Like a dinghy.
It's like a day cruise. It's like the one, the three-hour tour that Gilligan's Island was on.
I was thinking it's the booze cruise from The Office.
It is. Like, it's the booze cruise. But listen, mocktails maybe. We'll keep it.
Come on.
We'll keep it kid friendly.
Yeah.
Well, your Shirley Temple.
Yeah. Guys, thank you so much for the time you give us every week, and we'll do it next week on
Talk About That.
Hello, I'm Adam Comer.
And I'm Ryan Chittister.
And we are the host of Life After Addiction podcast. What we believe is that addiction is not a surprise to God.
That's right. We discuss addiction from a biblical worldview and how true freedom comes through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Absolute freedom from addiction, the secular worldview of once an addict, always an addict, is just not true. If you or someone you love struggles with addiction, subscribe to Life After Addiction at lifeaudio.com.